It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl, here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world, broadcasting from the tippy top of the world-famous Fox News headquarters in New York City. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, a man who did not blame the eclipse on climate change. I want credit for this. I said it to you yesterday. As sure as the moon would cross the sun's path, somebody was going to cite climate change, and they did it on The View.
The View was awful.
We're going to get into it in this hour just to have a laugh because the world's on fire. Why not roast a few radio marshmallows? You're welcome to pick up a stick and join me. 888-788-9910 if you want to be a part of this thing. Also, the phone number if you don't want to be a part of this thing.
You're just another dirtbag.
A lot of people feel that way, but no judgments here. There is not a more flawed member of this audience than the guy coming through your speakers right now, meaning me. I am a hot mess.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life,
well,
sir.
Fat, drunk, and stupid has gotten me a long way, so I'm going to dance with the gal I brought to the ball. 888-788-9910. You know the phone number. You can be a Republican. You can be a Democrat, Libertarian, Independent. We don't care. It is a talk show. The only thing we ever ask is that you don't be a There it is. Happy Tuesday. If you missed me on Fox and Friends this morning, we posted it on the Fox Across America website. I was just on with Stuart Varney. We will post that clip there as well. And tonight I am on with Laura Ingraham, who is, of course, thrilled to have me on her show every Tuesday.
What a fraud.
Oh, it's a tough crowd, but that's all right. I can take it because we're going to go on offense a little bit in this hour. Two things are happening. One, Evan Roberts is coming by. He is, in the New York area, a bit of a sports talk radio legend, and he just wrote a book about the New York Mets.
This is the biggest schmuck I've ever met.
Yeah, I don't know who wants to read this, but there's a lot of long-suffering Met fans out there, and we have a lot of respect for Evan. He's had quite a huge career. He's at WFAN. I mean, he's the biggest sports talk station in the world, and he's got a book out, and if you know anything about this show, it's that we're not afraid to plug somebody's book to the point that you're willing to punch us in the face for doing it.
That's true. That is true.
Although, to be clear, my New York Times bestseller, The Cancel Culture Dictionary, I haven't heard a lot about it lately because I've been promoting Jesse Waters' book at gunpoint. But today, we will put down the derringer. We will move over to sports and talk with Evan. But before that can happen, since we're in sports parlance, I will take a victory lap because I want credit for this. I said it to you yesterday on the show. I go, you know, the nice thing about an eclipse, I says, is for 4 minutes, you're going to get something happening in the news that we don't have to turn into a political battleground. And I caught myself in real time and played the buzzer and said, no, you're probably wrong about this, Jimmy, because in this day and age, everything comes with a side. It's the dumbest thing in the world. You know, two celebrities start dating. Taylor Swift's dating Travis Kelce. Everybody's got a hot take. This is bad for Republicans or it's bad for Democrats. This, you don't understand. It's the dumbest thing in the world. And everybody gets divided. And
somebody ought to belt you in the mouth.
And now we're fighting. Okay, I'm trying to be that other thing. I'm trying to be an old school talk show where we can agree or disagree. But we're going to treat each other okay. We're just going to have a good time. That's all I've got, man. I don't have answers. Okay, I'm a 47-year-old man who plays video games. If you are counting on me to save the Republic, we're in a hell of a whole lot of trouble right now. I got to be on.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
So I try to be that port in the storm. But when I get one right, I do want credit because nobody's ever copied off me on a test. But here is The View. Running through a host of doomsday conspiracies, I laugh because Sonny Hostin, with a straight face, tries to claim that the eclipse and the earthquake have to do with climate change.
Oh, shut up, woman.
But have a peek here. It's clip one.
I mean, I have to say, Karen DuPeach, our wonderful makeup artist, when the earthquake was happening, she put her coat on and she was like, Jesus is coming.
I'm out.
I'm leaving. We've got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake.
Down the hallway.
She ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here.
The rapture's here. And then also I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Although I love the first time in
No,
this is what I read.
There's two different kinds of cicadas.
Yes, two different times. times are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad cicadas.
But for the first time in many, many years.
No, every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe, you know better. All those things together would maybe lead one to believe that, you know, either climate change exists.
That's more
or something
point.
Is really
the
going is returning.
Earthquakes are not at the mercy of climate change. It's underground.
It happens.
And the
eclipse, they've known about the eclipse coming because eclipses happen, and they actually can say when these things are going to happen. So all these folks who are saying, you know, it's a sign from God. God doesn't give you warning. Okay? You think he gave people at the Tower of Babel warning? Oh, I'm about to jack y'all up? No.
I'm surrounded by idiots.
First of all, it's never a good sign when Whoopi Goldberg is serving as the fact checker, because Whoopi Goldberg is famously the same woman who nominated Jill Biden for Surgeon General.
Dr. Jill becomes a Surgeon General. His wife.
Yeah.
Joe Biden's wife, because she, you know, he would never do it, but she's a hell of a doctor. She's an amazing doctor.
She has a doctor and PhD.
I could be wrong. I thought she was
I think she's a teacher, but.
Except she's not a medical doctor. And to be clear, this is kind of par for the course on The View. Usually, like if we heard the beginning of the Joe Biden clip, they start to applaud it. That goes on The View. And in this instance, thankfully, they did fact check her. But we knew it was coming somewhere. There's a little more of that on social media. I don't want to dwell. I just found it so funny because I knew it would happen. Like we can't. And it's such a sad commentary on the day that we're living in. Is that everything becomes an opportunity to advance a political agenda, even in a fleeting moment like that where Sonny Hostin is making, you know, throwaway comments. But it's the biggest, you know, example I can give you in terms of why we're doing everything wrong in this day and age. Okay, the race to find a side. Okay, the race to link whatever your agenda happens to be with the goings on in the world. You know, the race that people finally, you know, are constantly trying to find new ways to say old things. Meaning we fight about the same political issues. We've been fighting about them for 40 years. We've been fighting about immigration reform for 40 years. Okay, we've been fighting about abortion for 50 years. Gun control's been around forever. You know, we're fighting about these issues forever. What's changed is the way we fight about them. Meaning social media, the 24-hour news cycle. It's so much harder to cut through all the clutter that people have to deal in extremes, which is how you wind up on the next clip I wanted to play you, which is Whoopi Goldberg saying, leave abortion alone because of the Ten Commandments. Now, I got to be honest with you, okay? Abortion isn't in the Ten Commandments. She makes the case that that's why we should leave it alone. But if you were really going to get technical, it probably violates the Ten Commandments more than it follows them, okay? Seeing as you have a commandment out there called thou shalt not kill, okay? But I'm not trying to get into the technicality. I'm just trying to show you how media works in this day and age. Everybody tries to co-sign their opinion to something larger as a way of cutting through the clutter and getting clicks. It's the biggest challenge with the world we're living in. Okay, it's an asset for a show like mine, but it's also a detriment because we're not sensationalists. We're not shock jocks. We're not trying to just, you know, be performatively upset. We're not trying to agitate you into clicking. But that is the challenge. Everybody's trying to get to the top of Mount Clickmore, and no one's going to click if you're just like, whatever. You know, some people will because they just want a reasoned back and forth. But what most people have to do in this day and age is take whatever their opinion is and tie it to something that's historically larger in the hopes that it'll cut through. And that's what Whoopi tries to do. Whoopi, again, who nominated Jill Biden for Surgeon General, despite the fact that she's not a doctor.
That was embarrassing.
Well, it would be if they knew shame, but we're kind of living in the death of shame when it comes to media. A lot of people will say anything to cut through. Here is Whoopi going the Ten Commandments route, clip two.
No one is obligated to have an abortion, so you never have to have one. And I hope no one ever has to have one. But if you find yourself in a position where you have to, I want to make sure, and I'm way past having kids. I want to make sure, yes, way past. I want to make sure that if you decide this is what you need to do, I'm going to get behind you. because I don't know your life. And if you say this is what you need, that's what I'm going to do. 50 weeks, 75,000 weeks, whatever, how many weeks, it's nobody's business. It's you, your doctor, and God. That's who you have to be conversational to. And it's not mentioned in the Big Ten, I'm just going to say.
No.
In the Big Ten, it is not mentioned.
The commandments?
Yeah.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
Fair question to ask. I mean, 50 weeks is, you know, a living baby. That would be murder. Like straight up murder. 75,000 weeks, obviously, no one's going to live that long. My math isn't the best. I went to community college, but that would seem like a very old person. You know, so you understand when you're trying to link it to this other thing to make it more relevant, you're always running this risk of embarrassing yourself. Except we're living in this death of shame where nobody actually gets embarrassed, no matter how ridiculous their comments happen to be. But when you tie it into something like the Ten Commandments, okay, and I'm not, you know, one way or the other giving you an abortion position. I think what Trump articulated yesterday is pretty reasonable, and 80% of the country supports abortion being available up until 15 weeks. That's what they have in Europe, and that's what a lot of states would like to see adopted here, one way or the other. But when you start to go the other route, the Ten Commandment route, and you try to say like, well, this is, you know, you make yourself sound smarter than you are. Well, by the way, they don't mention it in the Ten Commandments. Well, by the way, I don't know that it existed when the Ten Commandments were written. They were pretty old. It wasn't 1973 in the Roe versus Wade annals. I do believe it predates 1973, the Ten Commandments. We should probably ask Biden. He did graduate high school with Moses, so he can probably give you an exact date.
You know, the rapidly rising
But the point I was trying to make, and then we can move on with the show, is when it comes to tying in the Ten Commandments, when it comes to tying climate change to an eclipse, something that's predictable. Okay, we actually know when the next eclipse is going to be. It's going to be in 2044. So next time we'd have totality in this same pathway. Okay, but when you start to take your opinions and tie them to larger things, you're not doing so from a place of information. You're doing it from a place of wanting to be seen and heard. You're trying to bring attention to what you do. And I think that is the biggest challenge facing all of us right now. You've heard me say that before. One of the reasons I build this show as a safe space for cool people is because it allows anybody from any political persuasion to be a part of it, assuming they're not just like disingenuously race baiting us or Bible baiting us in the case of the Ten Commandments. That's why we always say on the show, you know, hey, be a Republican, be a Democrat, don't be a... Well, if we've learned anything in the years we've spent doing the show, it's that over at The View, everybody there is pretty much a...
He's the most talented man on the radio, but he needs your help.
We all know somewhere underneath all of that bright color, there's a man who's not right.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. From the Fox News Podcasts Network, subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
If you have to choose between America and Murica, the better time is being had in Murica.
Totally.
We all know that. Corinne, I mean, honestly, you're liberal and that's fine.
Yeah.
But if you were partying, you probably want to party with Murica.
No, I love it. I love visiting the South on tour. I've eaten macaroni and cheese with my hands when I can't get us out. It's more fun.
That didn't make Victoria's Secret.
That's a hot page in the catalog. Yeah. When you go from OnlyFans to OnlyFoods.
Oh, wow. Only if I'm talking about food again, I'm not supposed to be doing that on this show.
Put that cookie down now!
I'm telling you, ever since I got my own TV show, like Fox has me, you know, pretty strict diet right now. But we're having a grown-up talk. We're doing a little adulting in this break because I'm bringing on Evan Roberts to talk about his new book in the next break. We're thrilled to have him on. He's a Met fan. I mean, that's a thing. I don't know what the...
You're an idiot!
Oh, stop it. The Mets are 4-6, which is, by their standards, actually pretty good for this time of year. But we'll get into that. We're excited to talk about it because I wanted to give you some escapism because what I told you yesterday, we had Bill Hemmer on and we said this would happen. We were like, oh, this is going to be great. We'll have an eclipse. Nobody will care. You won't have any politics. Politics were everywhere. But on this show, as we try to be the change we want to see in the world, We try to take you in lighter directions because when you downshift, this matters, okay? When you do things from a place of emotion, you make dumb decisions. Every single one of you has gotten into a fight with somebody, and when the fight was over, you said like, hey, man, I'm sorry I said that, or it was like a thing, you know, because emotions deny you the self-awareness that would otherwise allow you to think clearly and know that you sound like a lunatic. You dig? You know, so what happens is when it comes to politics, the fact that we are as worked up as we are is why everybody says so many stupid things. We're constantly operating from a place of emotion because if you get people emotional, we're living in an age where people's emotions are their facts. So yesterday I played you this clip. It was fascinating. Okay, here's Trump flat out saying he would not support a national ban on abortion. He says he would give it back to the states. Here's the clip, clip six.
My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land, in this case, the law of the state. Many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others, and that's what they will be. At the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people. You must follow your heart or, in many cases, your religion or your faith.
So that's a statement, okay? My view, that's him speaking, my view, the states will determine by voter legislation, the states. I'm giving it to the states. That would be my view. People can decide for themselves. It's the will of the people. Follow your heart, your religion, your faith. Go in whatever direction you want, okay? Seems, you know, pretty straightforward. But here comes Kamala Harris and the Biden White House to tell you that Trump declared he wants a national ban on abortion.
This is politics as usual.
Here it is, straight up, clip four.
Let's all be very clear. If he were to be put back in a position where he could sign off on a law, he would sign off on a national abortion ban. Let's be very clear about that. And that obviously makes the contrast between Joe Biden and Donald Trump quite clear. We are very clear, and Joe Biden has been clear. If Congress passes a law reinstating the protections of Roe v. Wade, Joe Biden will sign it into law.
You are so full of sh**.
I mean, I just played you the clip of the guy saying we kick it to the states. They'll decide at a state level. The people can vote. They can do it through legislation. But each state is going to want what they want, and we're going to respect the will of the people. In comes the Biden White House to say, he just banned abortion.
Democrats are so full of crap.
And again, my job is not to tell you how to vote. I shouldn't be in charge of anything. Okay, but when you hear one side running against something the other guy didn't say, that should tell you everything about the sincerity and the credibility of their entire platform. Okay. Trump is running on one thing. The Democrats are running on their interpretation of what they claim he's running on. Like, do you remember when I played you the clip last week of Joe Scarborough saying that Trump has dedicated his life's work to reversing the accomplishments of Martin Luther King? I mean,
well, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard of.
But he said it with a straight face. Because when we live in this era where people's emotions are their facts, if you get them emotional, they're a little bit easier to manipulate. They're a little bit easier to side with you because you're catering to their emotion. In some cases, it's the emotion of moral superiority. You want to just know that you're better than somebody. In other cases, it's just that self-righteous indignation. In this case, the Democrats are selling both just the way they do when it comes to, like, racist accusations.
Democrats just call everyone racist so they go along with their stupid ideas.
It's America's Life Coach, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl. And if the band sounds fired up, it's because they are. Joining us now in studio, a man who has pretty much dedicated his adult life and some of his youth to following the New York Mets. A lot of people, they're playing Blow the Whistle by Too Short. I think a lot of people just blew the whistle on the idea of doing such a thing. But he is a radio legend at WFAN here in New York City. And he is the author of My Mets Bible, scoring 30 years of baseball fandom. This is a very fancy way of saying How My Therapist Got Rich,
which is
not as flashy as My Mets Bible. Evan Roberts is here. The crowd goes wild. Hey, man.
The more you, when you say the book out loud, I feel like a giant geek.
Yeah. Let me sit you a little closer to that mic.
Sorry about that.
Yep, it's okay.
The more you describe that and describe me, I have to wonder about the life choices I've made.
And we love you, Evan Roberts, but this is important, okay? Because when you say you're 30 years of baseball fandom, let's talk about what's gone on during that baseball fandom, which is not a lot.
No championships, a lot of losing, a lot of pain, a lot of dateless nights.
But give me this. In those 30 years, I'm just going to skip between moments that I know are in the book.
Go ahead.
Okay. Matt Harvey comes back out for that last inning.
Yeah.
You probably were feeling good going into that.
I was not.
No, you didn't like it.
No.
Were you one of the people who didn't like it?
I didn't want Matt Harvey to come back in the game, and I also took my wife, who we had just got married, and she's still learning how psycho I am, to that World Series game, and with a lead in the ninth inning, we're about to go to Kansas City if the Mets win.
Yeah.
She says to me, "Hon, I guess we're going to Kansas City."
No!
That's when I knew we were screwed.
No!
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we can't lose this bet. Oh, Evan Roberts!
Guys, that's when my wife figured out, okay, my husband, he's crazy, and I need to shut up during big moments of sporting events.
No, but we need this, because I always say this. The true power of sports is escapism.
Yes.
And I grew up in this era, as I know you did, where sports meant we weren't talking about anything we disagreed on. Not politics on anything. Because the way I position this show, I say this all the time, is I call it an audio safe space for cool people. And all that means is you can agree, disagree. It doesn't matter. It's just a talk show.
Right.
Like, I don't want to be in charge of our democracy. I'm a 47-year-old man who plays video games. I shouldn't be, again, I say this as a guy with a background in comedy.
Right.
Our job is to make you laugh. Strippers are supposed to make you Randy. Yeah. No one wants to hear a stripper's opinion on border security, which is unfortunate because she probably knows a lot about family separation. But stick with me, Evan Roberts. Let's jump around the book because I'm excited. So your 30 years start where in terms of the New York Mets?
So the first scorecard I could find, because I score every single Met game, and that's what I ended up doing, publishing 81 of the most memorable games, goes back to 1992. And at that point, I was a 9-year-old kid, and I think scoring baseball games is what my dad put in front of me to get me through a baseball game, because I don't think I was interested. I didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
And my dad loved the Mets. He would take me and my sister to almost every game. Mm-hmm. And so learning how to score actually got me into baseball games. But it started in 1992, where the Mets were terrible.
Is that like a Jeff Torborg year?
Is
that what it is?
That's a good call. The worst team money could buy was their nickname.
So is Vince Coleman on that team? I'm trying to jog my memory.
Yes, Coleman, Bobby Bonilla, Eddie Murray.
Do we have any Kevin McReynolds left?
They got him back.
Yeah.
So it was the second go-around of Kevin McReynolds.
The sequel nobody wanted.
The sequel nobody needed. So my love of baseball started by watching the worst team ever.
Yeah.
Which I think is a testament to baseball, that I could still love it despite watching the 92 and 93 Mets, which is what got me into the sport.
No, I agree with this. Evan Roberts is in studio. Broadcast royalty. No, I do mean that, too. If there was a Mount Rushmore.
I don't mind that.
No, if there was a Mount Rushmore of New York sports talk radio, you'd be on it. But it's New York, so there'd be X-rated graffiti on your face.
I'll take it.
I mean, it's just the way it's going to go.
That's right.
It would be on Francesa's, too. But the irony was his would be drawn by some of his fan coworkers.
That's
yours,
right.
Yours would just be random New Yorkers who can't see anything without spray painting a dong on it.
I wouldn't mind the graffiti, because right now I got this giant beard on my face, and I think the graffiti would be an upgrade.
It would be an upgrade, he says. All right, so I'm talking about this because my entrance into baseball as a Yankee fan is very similar to yours. We talked about this off the air. They sucked.
Yes.
If you got to a Yankees game early in the late 80s, you could pitch. Mm. They were like, oh, what are you, righty or lefty? We could use a guy. So I have kind of that same experience. And what I love about this is so much of this book is not dedicated to good times, because it has been a lean 30 for the Mets.
Yes.
But you made that point earlier in the interview. It's that baseball's job is to take you away from the real life hard times.
It's true, because even the worst losses, and there are some terrible losses in this book. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good wins, but it's mostly losses. Those losses at the end of the day, and I've especially been able to appreciate it now, having two kids, having a wife. What the hell does it really mean?
Nothing.
You get upset about it. You get depressed about it. Yep. Maybe even cry a little bit, which I've done numerous times.
Mm-hmm.
But then you take a step back and you're like, it's just freaking baseball. It's a bunch of millionaires that played a game.
It's called perspective.
Yes.
I remember saying this to my neighbor Petey when the Yankees blew the 3-0 lead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in the 04 ALCS.
Ah, who could forget?
But I specifically remember him saying, I feel bad for Derek Jeter. Such a competitor. He wanted it so bad. I'm like, dude, Derek Jeter is going home to a supermodel in a mansion.
It's true.
You're going home to a jar of hand cream in your mom's basement. I think Jeter should have to mention you in the public.
We suffer more than the players.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Especially a player like Derek Jeter.
Yes. Well, this comes full circle when I talk to the viewers about politics, which me and you are not about to do. I try to explain to them, having spent a lot of time in D.C. and I go to Congress and I cover this stuff. I'll be live at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Very nice.
I explain to them, I say, this is all pro wrestling.
Yes.
And what I mean by that is after a wrestling match, the Ultimate Warriors fans beat up, you know, maybe the Macho Man's fans in the parking lot. But the Ultimate Warrior and the Macho Man go to Hooters.
Yes.
Okay. And that's a lot of what baseball is because they're playing 162 games.
Yes.
So they've got to go to Hooters.
That's true, except we as fans, that doesn't happen. Like the Yankee fans still pisses me off to this day. So when they rub in the 2000 World Series, which is featured prominently in this book.
Oh, yes, it is.
I don't hug them after.
Can I tell you this? As a kid who grew up in the 80s, watched them lose everything, I obviously was a tolerable Yankee fan when the Torrey years hit and we finally found ourselves on the right end of this.
Right.
But I genuinely felt bad when Piazza flew out to Bernie Williams at the end of the 2000 World Series, which off the bat, by the way, everyone in the stadium thought it was gone.
I thought it was too.
It sounded good.
I know.
I was in the right field upper deck, but I'll never forget, I genuinely felt bad to get the last out at Shea because it really was sad.
You're full of crap.
No, I did. Again, I just won 3 out of 4, I didn't need it.
I think, like, here's what I'm getting from you and a lot of Yankee fans, you're not alone. You feign this, we feel bad for you. But you don't really feel bad for us.
No, I think I do on a different level because this is what happened, okay? When I was in fourth grade, that was 86.
Yes.
So the Mets win that World Series, come back against the Red Sox. My fourth grade teacher, Mrs. Germano, who is actually listening probably right now.
Hello, Mrs. Germano.
Shout out to Mrs. Germano, Abbey Lane School in Levittown. She saw me on TV 40 years after the fact, and I happened to name check her on TV.
Really?
And she happened to be watching. So we got back in touch because she read us a book called Where the Red Fern Grows. This is 86. This is specific to you. So the book Where the Red Fern Grows is about this kid who gets these two hunting dogs in Oklahoma, and it's glorious. He's hunting. He's winning contests. And then like chapter 11, they just kill the dogs. And like everyone in this classroom, it's fourth grade, women are sobbing and weeping. It's horrible. And that was the beginning of the 86 season, book ending with the Mets winning it.
Right.
And so I've always had this connection to the Mets in the sense that I was born into baseball at a time when they were good. And I resented them more then than I did all these years later because I had won. And I don't think, I don't know, maybe you have a different killer instinct than me. If you won 4 out of 5, would you really need to stick it to the Yankees in the fifth one?
Here's the problem. I don't know. Like, all the teams I root for have won nothing in my lifetime. I'm a Jets fan. I'm a Brooklyn Nets fan, New Jersey Nets fan. I'm a Mets fan. I've seen, like, 86, I was 3 years old. I don't remember it.
Maybe.
So when you ask, and people ask me this all the time, the hypothetical, how would you feel if this happens? Or what would you do if this team won 3 out of 4?
Yeah.
I don't freaking know. I'd probably retire and be a different human being if I saw my team win.
Evan Roberts is here. He does not know how he would break up with Cindy Crawford. If he had to do it, he doesn't know. He's thought about it.
It's the same hypothetical, honestly.
You don't
know. What's the difference?
Well, something you'd appreciate as a Jets fan, I got some blowback for this on Fox News Saturday night, the show I host every Saturday night at 10 o'clock on this channel, on the TV channel. I was talking about your man Aaron Rodgers potentially being a VP for RFK Jr.
Yes.
And I said, how crazy is it that the Jets' offensive line is so bad, Aaron Rodgers feels safer behind a Kennedy running for president. That's a bad commentary on your guys. But can you give me some hope for the Jets? Or is anything looking up?
Yes. Okay. I think they've had a great offseason. I think their offensive line is going to be a lot better. And I do believe in Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
I really do. Despite being 40 coming off a torn Achilles, he's an MVP caliber player. And if the Jets had average quarterback play the last 2 years, they would have been in the playoffs.
They would matter.
With average quarterback play.
Thank you. That's the kind of range he has. It's called My Mets Bible, scoring 30 years of baseball fandom. Just barrel right from Jets to RFK back to the Mets now.
Hey, listen, we did that all day. When RFK and Aaron Rodgers had the rumors going around, that was our talk show.
Yep.
It was the one time we jumped into politics.
Uh-huh.
We were breaking down RFK picking Aaron Rodgers, how the season would transpire if he was doing both.
I love this.
Can he campaign and do both? And then, of course, a really big question that a lot of New Yorkers had.
Give it to me.
What did he have a better chance of doing?
Mm-hmm.
Winning the vice presidency with RFK or winning a Super Bowl with the Jets? And believe it or not, most people thought RFK winning had the better chance.
Because when you think about it, a Jets Super Bowl championship predates the moon landing.
Yes.
assuming you think we went to the moon. I don't know if you're if you're one of those loonies who thinks we pulled it off. I kid. But you know what does concern me? I talk about this a lot. So I grew up in Levittown, very pro-America.
Yes.
Grumman's down the block. They made the Gemini space capsules there. I was very invested in the idea that we landed on the moon. My wife is from Neil Armstrong's hometown, Wapakoneta, Ohio. But you know what bothered me over the summer? And I just want your take on this because you know things. India landed on the moon in July in an unmanned vessel, meaning India 50 years, 70, can't land a man on the moon. Meaning India, who we call for tech support, if there's something wrong. It really made me reexamine the whole thing. I'm not saying we didn't go, but I'm saying I've been given pause. Is that fair?
No, I think you're crazy.
Evan Roberts,
I want to go to the moon.
Yeah.
I want to go to the moon because then I would definitely know we've been there. So once they start charging us to do that, I'm in.
You're showing up for the space tourism?
Damn right.
Because as a Met fan, there's a part of you that wants to die. give me this. So we're talking about my Mets Bible. It's available everywhere. Okay, this is Evan's relationship with the Mets over the course of the last 30 years.
Sick and abusive, yes.
Several pill addictions have been born out. Drinking. He's in a death cult now. It's a whole to-do. Give me this, because without even getting into specifics of the 30, I just want to jump through an era that I know you'd know a lot about. So early aughts, okay, they lose the World Series to the Yankees.
Yes.
Okay, Piazza sticks around for a little bit.
Yes.
But then we get some turnover.
Yes.
Okay, so this is the era I want to talk about. It's the Adam Wainwright curveball. Oh. It's Beltran. It's the Wilpon Madoff years. So yes. I want to give you something.
Yes.
Okay. And we've never shared this information. It's our first time meeting, which is unfortunate. We're having a great time. Okay. When Carlos Beltran turned 30, this is great. His wife, Jessica, okay, threw him a surprise party at a place down called Cezanne. It was on Reed Street. It was like a Tejano Mexican place, whatever. David Wright was on the team. He had just shaved his head bald. Do you remember this era?
Yes.
Ryan Church couldn't catch a fly ball in the outfield.
Yes.
And
also misses third base in a game in Los Angeles. That game's in the book, by the way.
And on this particular day, Ollie P. had walked the stadium, Oliver Perez.
Yeah, that's called every other day.
Anyway, as luck would have it, okay, the Mets hired me to do stand-up for his 30th surprise party.
Oh,
so Mick Foley was there, a lot of wrestling guys that are friends of his, and he was great. Reyes was there, it was great. But David Wright actually said to me, and it was so funny, I go, hey, man, I'm a comic, I'm going to kind of roast Beltran. I'm like, is there any dirt I need to know on the team? He goes, dude, he goes, whatever you say, just say it in Spanish, you'll be fine. And I was like, you stop it right now. So I want you to know this. I bombed. It was like it was a really rough gig, but Carlos Delgado had such a big infectious laugh that he turned it into a credible show where I wound up crushing but deserved none of it.
So he saved you.
I was hitting at Coors Field. Like, I had high altitude because of Delgado.
Wow.
It wound up being one of the best nights of my life, but it should have been the worst. So I owe Delgado something.
Yes.
Is the correct thing to buy him a copy of A Love Letter to the New York Mets?
I don't think any of those players want to read this
They book. Don't want to read
There's
this.
A lot of bad memories from that era.
Nobody wants to cruise by the scene of the crime. Okay, so then give me that, though. 2000, because we're talking about we are, for better or for worse. These are all punches in the nuts. 2000's a punch in the nuts.
Yes.
The Wainwright curveball, tremendous punch
Major
in the nuts.
Major punch in the nuts,
And then, of course, you got 2015 against the Royals.
Yes.
Do you rank the impact on the nuts over the course of this book, or are you capable of doing so now?
It is very difficult to rank the nut shots. What I've learned is that, and I know this is weird, because most people say when they're younger, the losses affect you more.
Yeah.
You're a child.
Mm-hmm.
You don't understand.
Yeah.
The older I get, I see my own death coming. So the losses actually get tougher. So I would argue that losing in 2015, especially game one of that World Series,
because
it was just like game one of 2000.
Yeah.
They had a lead.
Mm-hmm.
They should win the game.
Mm-hmm.
The closer blew it in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
They lost an extra innings. It was like a death march.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the later things move, the more painful they are.
Yeah.
And vice versa. Like, I think the wins are more satisfying because you realize this is all fleeting.
Yeah.
Like, you have no idea if you're ever going to see anything good actually happen.
So do you have that thing in you where you wonder at night if you're like that Cubs fan who lived to be 98 but somehow didn't see a World Series championship?
I've had that thought many times.
That's the dream you have?
Yeah. And what's crazy, it's about all my teams.
I mean, that's true.
I'm a Nets fan. They collected Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden, and then it all blew up. Vaccine mandates. It's like, what the hell? Like, the world was conspiring against the teams I root for and actually winning. So it's not just one team. It's the trifecta of losers that I root for.
You're in a Truman Show version of a sports fan.
It feels that way,
where the world is out to get you. Okay, so two closers are drowning, one life preserver. Okay, Armando Benitez or John Franco? Who gets the life preserver?
No. I save Johnny Franco.
You do, right?
Because I think John Franco gave a damn.
Yeah.
Like, John Franco left it all out on the field. He's one of us. He's a New Yorker.
Uh-huh.
Armando Benitez, I don't know. When he gave up that bomb to JT Snow in game two of the division series in 2000, he could give two craps.
He could.
When Paul O'Neill drew that walk against him in game one of the 2000 World Series, you think Armando Benitez gave a crap?
Oh,
I think he'd
kill
John Franco, so I would save Johnny.
You would save Johnny Franco. No, I respect that. For me, the best Armando Benitez moment was it was a throwaway brawl when he was an Oriole playing the Yankees.
Oh, God.
And the straw man wound up in the dugout and hit him with a left.
That's, I am convinced that brawl was the end of his Met tenure before he ever got there. Because I think that got to him mentally.
It was like the concussion that Rizzo had on the Yankees last year.
Yes.
Did you get punched in the side of the head by Darryl Strutt? It doesn't end good for anybody.
No. You hit Tino in the back. Yankee Stadium wants to charge the mound on you. From that moment, I knew Armando couldn't handle a big spot.
I love this so much. I've got a minute and a half. Give me who's the Met that matters for you? Who's the one Met, the time capsule Met?
Rico Brogna.
Really?
Rico Brogna. In fact, I have a podcast named Rico Brogna.
Is that real?
I want to honor his Met legacy. He was a brilliant defensive first baseman in the mid to late 90s. They ended up trading him away for peanuts to the Philadelphia Phillies.
Did.
And I just love Rico Brogna.
Really?
I have his jersey at home. I love the man.
There was no thought to a podcast called John Olerud.
I gave it about 30 seconds of thought.
He couldn't give me one. Not Super Joe McEwing.
No. He was close. I love Super Joe. Yeah, Jacob DeGrom was also my more modern favorite Met. It breaks my heart. He's not on the team anymore, and he's always been getting hurt. But we always have that obscure player that we loved growing up.
Yes.
And for me, it's Rico Brogna.
That's
a podcast, by the way, you can download wherever you download podcasts.
There it is, Evan Roberts. And you got to buy the book. It'll all make sense. It's called My Mets Bible, scoring 30 years of baseball fandom. And the nice thing about being a Met fan is when they reissue this in 30 years for the anniversary... There'll be no updates. It'll be the same thing. Evan Roberts, we love you. Thanks for this,
Thank
man.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it, man.
A show so good, it moves the stock market.
The Dow racing up on Jimmy's remarks.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla doing the dang thing in New York all week long. And then we head down to Huntsville, Alabama, Saturday night. We are at the Mars Music Hall in Huntsville. There are still tickets available. You'll not only see me, you'll see the entire Jackson 3. Jenny and Lincoln are going to be there to meet the Daniel family, who named their dog after my son, Lincoln.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
I agree with R. Kelly there. Michael is also going to be in the house. You guys know Trucker Michael, who calls into the show. I mean,
there's a slob. There's a real slob.
Well, the point is he'll be there. And of course, you'll see stand up and you'll pet the dog and we'll have a nice Q&A. It's going to be a good time. Saturday night, Mars Music Hall, Huntsville, Alabama. And if you need tickets, foxacrossamerica.com. If you want tickets to any other show I'm doing in the Everybody Calm Down tour, they're all available. foxacrossamerica.com. That is a thing. We just added a live link for July 13th at the Pikes Peak Event Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. People are fired up for that show. It's been crazy. It's only going to get crazier in the next hour. Caroline Leavitt from the Trump campaign, the official spokesperson, joining us next on Fox Across America.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, you bet it is. We are back in action for a big hour of Fox Across America with your radio buddy Jimmy Failla, reachable to you, the listener, at 888-788-9910. That's the phone number if you want a part of this thing. There is no ideological barrier for entry. You can agree, you can diss. It doesn't matter.
I don't care where you come from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how dumb you are.
No, ma'am. On this show, you can be a Republican, you can be a Democrat. The only thing we ever ask is that you don't be a... Boom! Big hour coming up with Caroline Leavitt. It's Caroline Leavitt. Is actually the spokesperson for the Trump campaign. Trump's trying to get back to the White House. She is the mouthpiece that gets out there on TV and tries to sell the agenda or at least clarify, you know, what the president said or what they're aiming to do or things of that nature. The last time I saw Caroline Leavitt, we were down in Fort Lauderdale. If you guys remember, we performed at the Amaturo concert. It was really nice. down there in Fort Lauderdale. It happened to be spring break, though, which got a little crazy because, oh, my goodness, they sent me out with a news camera at 2 a.m. For my TV show on spring break. Let's send Jimmy to the beach at 2 a.m.
This could be a problem.
No, as I said earlier, every kid at spring break got a 4.0. That's the good news. The bad news is it was their blood alcohol content. Those people were hammered. But you'll get a sober Carolyn Leavitt today when she joins us. And I'm sure she's feeling well because there's a new Gallup poll out. This is crazy. It's about presidential likability. And there's a new Gallup poll out on Joe Biden's likability.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
Not the best. President Trump, when it comes to leadership, according to the Gallup poll, 57% trust Trump's leadership versus just 38% who trust Joe Biden's.
Biden sucks.
I mean, at least that's what the American people are saying in this moment. It's wild, but it's a gain for Trump. When it comes to managing the government, he's up 49% to 39% against Biden. So you talk about, you know, he beats them by 10% in terms of who you trust to manage the government. And to be honest with you, the reason Trump gets the higher mark there is Biden is kind of doing what the government wants, whereas Trump is giving the government a giant middle finger. And a lot of people support that mindset because they're sick of watching Washington, D.C. run this place into the ground.
Country is being destroyed by stupid people, by very stupid people.
A lot of folks feel that way. OK, when you look at who they consider a strong and decisive leader, this stuff matters. OK, Trump is at 57%. Biden is at 38%.
Come on, man.
38%. It's a 19-point lead, almost a 20-point lead. That's significant. And when it comes to who shows good judgment in a crisis, Trump is at 45%. Biden is at 40%. So when you're talking about really key metrics, OK, in terms of the ability to lead the country to a prosperous path, OK, Trump is winning by a lot. Which is, I got to be honest with you, surprising to me because there is a lot of Trump hatred out there. Okay, there is a lot of baggage from his first presidency. There's the entirety of the media telling you he's, you know, orange Cheeto Jesus, literally Hitler 24 hours a day. That's pretty much been on loop for the better part of 5 years.
The media is a bunch of losers.
Okay, and it's more than 5 years. This goes back to 2016. It's basically been 8 years of this guy's the devil, we're all going to die. And I think what's ultimately happening now is because we haven't died yet, you know, the sky hasn't fallen the way they told us it would. And, you know, that could be all that climate change or something. I don't know. Okay, people are starting to divorce themselves from their Trump feelings and they're starting to focus on their Trump facts. And what I mean by that is there are indicators that determine your quality of life as a society, and they were all better under Trump.
Bingo.
So I'm not endorsing his character. I'm not endorsing every word that comes out of his mouth. It's not my job. I'm not supposed to be in charge of anything. Okay, but as a talk show host who can level with you, you know, some of you agree with me, some of you don't. There's a lot of people who hate listen to Fox News. I get, you know, you think I'm like some right-wing agitator. Come on, man. I'm not an activist. As Brian Brenberg said, I am an inactivist. Okay, I look like I get paid in deep-fried Twinkies. But stick with me for a second. The border under Joe Biden, okay, has decimated the American labor force. We were reading these stats for you yesterday. Foreign-born labor has accumulated 2.5 million jobs since Biden got into office. American labor has lost close to 1 million jobs. So an open border, which represents cheaper labor, comes at a detriment to the American worker. When you talk about the record level of fentanyl poisoning deaths, that's fentanyl gets into your system. It doesn't know if you're a Republican or a Democrat or independent. It just kills you. OK, we have seen a record level of fentanyl poisoning deaths under this president. That's a bad metric. OK, the employment metric is obviously terrible. Then there's the whole humanitarian crisis and the reality that tens of thousands of kids are being sex trafficked through our open border right now. And you realize that the overall quality of being has deteriorated drastically under Biden. Then you get into economic indicators, which Barack Obama's top advisor, David Axelrod, is out there on TV telling Biden to stop saying the economy's good.
I agree with that.
But I'll play it for you so you understand this is not like me asking you to take my word for it. These aren't Jimmy's fun facts where I'm trying to get you worked up. I'm just trying to have an honest conversation. Here is David Axelrod telling Bill Kristol it drives him crazy when Biden says the economy's good. Clip 20.
I wouldn't go out there and extol the miracle of the Biden economy. It just drives me crazy when he does that.
Tell him like it is.
Now, that's Barack Obama's top advisor, David Axelrod. And he's saying it drives him crazy when he does that. Why? Because the metrics that affect your quality of life. I mentioned the border. Okay, Donald Trump cut illegal border crossings by 80%. Joe Biden has presided over the largest number of illegal border crossings in the history of our country.
You have no idea how to defend a nation.
So there's a metric. That's a Trump fact. Okay, when it comes to the economy, the core price index is 30% higher under Joe Biden.
Biden is such a disaster.
When you think about going to the grocery store, your milk is more, your eggs are more, your cheese is more, your gas is more, your bread is more, meat is more, chicken is more, turkey is more. Whatever you're buying at the grocery store is more money under this president.
We have people in Washington that don't know what they're doing.
And then you look at the fact that the average American is struggling. We've got 70% of Americans living paycheck to paycheck. We've got 80% of Americans saying the country is headed in the wrong direction. And you've got Joe Biden in the White House on TV telling you every day things are great. It's just a messaging problem. Meaning, you know, the way the media covers it, that's the problem. No, it's not media coverage. It's not what people hear from the media. It's what they hear from the cashier when they go to the grocery store. It's what they hear from the cashier when they go to the gas pump. It's what they hear from the teller when they go to make a withdrawal from their bank account. I don't run the Donald Trump Radio Defense Fund. I absolutely do not want anything to do with steering your vote. But with the reason this polling exists and Trump is showing a 20-point edge over Biden in all of the key metrics that determine elections is because you are starting to see a reality where people are separating their Trump facts from their Trump feelings. One more clip I'll play you. Here's Charles Barkley and Stephen A. Smith just talking about the border situation. Clip 9.
First of all, the border is a joke. The border is a joke.
Yeah.
So they have these migrants, they call them, had just bust up in New York. They got them on camera kicking and beating like cops. They beat up these
two cops. Yeah. Beating up two cops. But, beating up two police officers in the subway station.
They were out of jail in 24 hours. And the next day.
Actually, it was the same day, Charles.
But, but 2 days later, they called them robbing Macy's. I'm like,
wow.
First of all, they beat up cops. How are you out of jail in 24 hours?
But it's woke culture. But with woke culture and everything else that's been going on, you've got folks on the left that have endorsed a more lenient legal system, and obviously folks on the right going crazy about it and calling for law and order. Who do you side with, considering our iniquitous history, what's going on today, and who the candidates are in terms of Biden and Trump in all likelihood running for office? What do you do, Charles? Who do you vote for?
First of all, we need law and order, Stephen A. If we're going to...
I agree.
Yeah,
So you understand, those are two guys who have been adamantly against Trump in the past. But they're starting to see what the quality of life has become under Biden, under woke bail reforms. And they're suddenly coming to the realization that you have to divorce your Trump feelings from your Trump facts. Okay, your Trump feelings might be he drives you crazy, he tweets stupid things. Okay, but what you say is not nearly as important as what you do. Meaning Biden says the right things on the rare occasion that the words come out in English. Okay, but at the end of the day, what he's done is opened the border, decimated the economy, and made you and your family less safe by adhering to a lot of woke policies.
Everything woke turns to
You're listening to the most relatable man on the radio.
Best way to describe him is to say he's the typical boy next door.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla fired up to talk to this next guest. When we last spoke, we were backstage at one of my stand-up shows in Fort Lauderdale, and she was surprisingly sober for someone who watched an hour of my act. I am talking about the Trump 2024 National Press Secretary, Caroline Leavitt, is here. Hey, girl.
Hey. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited to be with you on your radio show, and I have to just give you a shout-out because you are way funnier in real life than you appear on television, if that's even something people can imagine.
You stop it. Well, thank you. And that is obviously, as you know, the drugs. But I kid. It's just as I was saying live that night, because that was such a nice venue, by the way. That was really
It was wonderful.
I know, but it made me look so much classier than I am. Like, I actually felt guilty, like looking around. I was like, wow, these people have been duped. But as you'd imagine, you could do a lot more things at a comedy show than you can do on TV in terms of language, which I always warn the audience of up top.
And content, yeah. Let's be real.
There's that. But I'll tell you what, though. If there was ever an equivalent in politics, it's being the national press secretary for the Trump campaign, because the president, as you know, is more focused on what you do than what you say. And I think the Democrats are trying more than ever right now in this moment to kind of distort what he says, because what they've done doesn't seem to be polling well with the American people.
Exactly right. And the media spends more time writing stories about President Trump's words and his alleged violent rhetoric, if you will, than the real violence that is taking place across this country. I can tell you, being the press secretary for President Trump, working as part of our phenomenal communications team, if I may say, we receive incoming every single day from fake news reporters, from the Associated Press to Reuters to CNN, NBC, you name it, asking us about President Trump's language. And it's like, if they spent an ounce of time, as they do, writing about his words and actually talking about the actions he took as president and the reasons that people are overwhelmingly supporting him in this next election, maybe they'd get it. But they don't get it. They are fake news. And that's what we deal with on a daily basis here at the Trump campaign.
Oh, it's so funny. We're talking to Caroline Leavitt. She is, of course, on Twitter at K-L-E-A-V, K-Leavitt. TNH, it's a good handle, and I want to make sure they have it, because you're always fun. You're always fun on the interwebs. I'm fascinated right now at polling. I was reading a Gallup poll that shows Trump with a 19-point advantage over Biden when Americans are asked who they consider a strong and decisive leader. It's a 19, that's significant. And as you know, polls are usually extra hard on Trump. But do you think people are just colliding with a reality between, as I said earlier, their Trump feelings and their Trump facts? Mm-hmm. Meaning there are people who have animosity towards the president, but the fact of life is, you know, life was probably better under him than it was under Biden.
Definitely. And this is such a unique election because we do have a face-off between a former president who was just in office a few short years ago and the current incumbent president. And in terms of polling, we've never seen President Trump poll in this great of a position. He's never been stronger. Not only are we seeing him win on the issues of immigration and the economy, which are the number one and two issues in every single state across this country, he is also winning on leadership, as you just mentioned, because people believe what they see with their own eyes. And what they see is Joe Biden constantly tripping upstairs, slurring over his words. I mean, my goodness, I was just watching his speech that he's giving today, and he's constantly screaming and then he's whispering, and it's just a mess. It's embarrassing for our country. We need strong leadership. Our adversaries are taking advantage of us because they realize just how weak and incompetent, frankly, Joe Biden has become. His own Justice Department says that he is not mentally fit enough to stand trial. How can he possibly be fit enough to lead this country in another 4 years? And Americans see that, and the Biden team is definitely overcompensating for it. They are taking President Trump's words out of context every time he misspeaks, which is not often, by the way. They're quick to capitalize on it because they're defensive on it, and they should be. Their candidate is very, very weak, and everyone sees it, and that's why President Trump is in a strong position. To your point, Jimmy, as well, people remember just how much better their lives were under President Trump's leadership, whether it was his record economy, whether it was the secure border that we had, whether it was the fact that he actually backed law enforcement in our local communities to deport illegal immigrants, not just release them back in the streets like Joe Biden supports. By every metric, America was better under Donald Trump. People see it, they feel it, and that's why he's winning.
Well, I'll give you one nugget, though, because I shared this on my show yesterday. We're talking to the great Caroline Leavitt, Trump 2024 National Press Secretary. Biden does deserve some credit because arson is down because nobody can afford to burn down your house at these gas prices. Should we not tip our cap for that?
I suppose.
You know how much a guy's got to love you, Caroline, to burn your house down at $4.19 a gallon? That's love. Like, that's actually the one who got away. You're not supposed to let that guy out of your life. That's real passion. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
I wish I could love someone as much, or someone could love me as much as they could spend $5 a gallon of gas. Unfortunately, I don't think
$5 arson. They used to say, you know, those remember those engagement commercials? He went to Jared. Nowadays, it's he went to Exxon. You know, it's like if he went to Exxon, he loves you, girl. He loves you. Give me one more thing on the border because I just found this poll, fascinating, and we're going to get into it next. There's an Axios poll that shows Biden losing with Latinos. His support has fallen 29 points after his first year in office. That's significant in an election that some people think would be close. But what do you attribute that to? Is it the fact that most Latinos don't support illegal immigration is what it comes down to for me?
Yes, definitely. And most Latinos are conservative in nature. They support the conservative American values of family and freedom and faith. And Joe Biden has been denigrating those values with every action he's taken as president. And the illegal immigration invasion that we are seeing is particularly impacting Latino and African American communities, Latino communities at our southern border, and then also in our inner cities that have become sanctuaries for illegal immigrants. While these legal citizens, many of them Hispanic Americans, are being put on the back burner. And, you know, that's infuriating to Latinos, as it should be. And then, of course, the economic impact of Bidenomics, which Joe Biden still slurs his words and promises us is working. Latino Americans are realizing it is not working. The inaffordability of housing, of rent, of groceries, of gas is impacting all Americans. But that's what we hear from the Hispanic American community. And President Trump is winning with this demographic. That is historic. No president has been leading with this demographic like President Trump has in our internal data. And if that holds on November the 5th, it is going to be a red wave for the president. We're very confident it will be. And we're hell-bent on getting this group engaged and excited, working for our campaign team and getting them out to the polls.
Love it. Great hang as always. I'm sad that we ran out of time, but we'll do it again. We'll go to a comedy show or we'll get ripped and we'll hang out with your lovely parents. That was a great time, Caroline. I miss you already.
It was so much fun. You are great, Jimmy. We love you.
Oh, you're buttering me up, Levitt. That's enough. We love you, girlfriend. We'll talk soon.
Get her out. Get her out of here.
Reality with a bit of insanity. It's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is. The high-flying, death-defying Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Shout out to Caroline Levitt. She came to see me in Fort Lauderdale with, I believe, her fiance and her parents. And it's always awesome when you're doing a public meet and greet. You got to meet 100 people, 200 people, 500 people, whatever the hell it is. It's always awesome to see somebody in line that you didn't know was going to be there, that you know personally. So like in this instance, I didn't know she was coming to the show, or we might have got her comp tickets, her being a good friend and someone I've known for a bit of time. But in this instance, she just ambushed me during the meet and greet. And I was like, oh, that's funny. Caroline Levitt, there you go. And this happened to be this past Friday night. We were out in Seattle, the Federal Way Performing Arts Center. And my man, Stephen Amoroso is a kid who went to my high school, graduated a year ahead of me. I have not seen Stephen Amoroso since like 1995, straight up. He was on my Little League baseball team. Like I knew his dad, okay? I knew his family. I just went to his sister. He has a sister, Kristen, who's a couple years younger than me. But I haven't seen any of them since 1995. So imagine I'm out in Seattle and I'm slanging jokes at the end of the night. We're signing books. We're signing boobs.
Hubba, hubba.
The point is, okay, out of nowhere, it's like, you know, the Red Sea parted, the boobs parted, and in walks Stephen Amoroso, kid I went to high school with. It's a nice, pleasant surprise. That's the point. So if you're listening, you want to surprise the show, 888-788-9910. Or if you want to come down to the Mars Music Hall in Huntsville, Alabama this Friday, this Saturday, you can get your tickets at foxacrossamerica.com. That being said, we've got to get on now with the show. So I mentioned this poll when I was talking to Caroline Levitt. I will mention it to you again now. It has to do with the Latino vote when it comes to the 2024 election. According, and this is fascinating, specifically to swing states like Nevada and Arizona, okay, there's more support for Democratic ideas than there is for Biden. They don't necessarily like him. But as a whole, Biden has fallen by 29 points, 29 points with Latino voters.
Get him out of here.
Get them out.
That's pretty much what they're saying. And when it comes to the key metrics, okay, when asked who is better for the economy, Latinos prefer Trump 42% over Biden 20%. On crime and public safety, Trump 31% to Biden 20%. Okay, so you think about that. When it comes to your family, what are your two most primal issues? Making money, staying safe. Okay, Trump has the advantage in both of those issues. And these, again, if the election comes down to substance, Trump actually has a really good shot. If it comes down to sensationalism, then it's going to be a totally different story because there is, as Caroline Levitt was saying, a constant drumbeat in the media to repurpose what Trump is saying and give it different meaning.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
Okay, and that's a challenge. Okay, that's something they're going to run into. But when you come to the issue in terms of how it's affecting people's quality of life, I played a clip earlier from Charles Barkley and Stephen A. Smith, okay, neither of whom are a member of the Latino community, but they're talking about an issue that's very specific to all of us, which is the fact that the American citizen feels like he's taking a backseat to everything. At a time when our border is open, like they've essentially turned the southern border into the college bar that doesn't check ID. Do you know once the word gets out that you can drink at a bar even if you're not yet 21, the minute that happens, everybody's showing up, you know? That's the way it works. Well, that's pretty much the southern border. The word has gotten out that anyone who wants to come into the bar is allowed in, and now... And understand this, okay? No one, not on this air, not anywhere else, no one is saying we don't want migration in this country. We're just saying we want people to come here legally. America was built on immigration. They came here legally, came through Ellis Island, migrated into the country, and bought into the American dream, which is, you know, what people around the world wish they could have every single day.
Freedom!
I've told you this before. I have real perspective because I drove a taxi in New York City for a long time. And people used to get into my taxi at JFK International Airport and cry because they had made it into America, literally shaking with joy because they were on American soil. And it was so powerful because I could totally take them the long way and make like 300 extra bucks off them in the process. But anyway, stick with me. Okay, we in this country have no idea how good we have it. We're like the rich kids who don't realize how much harder life is down the block at the other houses. Okay, but people are starting to get a sense for the fact that the America we now live in is no longer affording the American citizen the same luxuries, the same upward mobilities that we had in generations past. Like right now is the border's wide open, and we're prioritizing illegal immigration over the people who come here properly, who now have to wait in line an extra 5 years to get processed. And then you see on top of that, that they're being paid and subsidized by the government. That doesn't sit well with a lot of people. Here is Charles Barkley and Stephen A. Smith talking about it, clip 10.
How about the $53 million in prepaid credit cards for migrants?
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I mean, come on, man. And
black folks been in the streets, Latinos been in the streets, homeless, minorities have been in the streets, homeless, starving for years. We ain't never got anything like that. Like, I grew up on welfare. What are they talking about? I'm like, we ain't never had nothing like that.
I mean, because that's just not right. I mean, it's just not right and it's just not fair.
I mean, really think about that, though. Okay, what are they telling you? Okay, people coming into this country illegally are getting prepaid gift cards so they can pay for food and shelter and clothing.
Welcome to the Biden administration, home to the new slogan, America Last.
I mean, really think about that. And these are prominent voices, Charles Barkley, Stephen A. Smith, massive media platforms. I mean, Charles Barkley's over on CNN. I mean, you know.
CNN is the worst.
But the point is, he's also got his NBA platform. Okay, Stephen A. Smith, massive following on ESPN. Okay, and these guys are starting to talk like Ice Cube, O'Shea Jackson, my man, okay, or Meek Mill, guys who are acknowledging the fact that the black community has voted for the Democratic Party for the better part of 50 years, and they really don't have anything to show for it. I mean, yes, we get the deliverable of the Democrats giving us the first black president, which matters. That's significant. And it should have been a major step forward in race relations in this country because it was a moment to acknowledge that, well, of course, racism still exists. But the vast, vast, vast majority of Americans have to be well beyond race, okay, to elect Obama twice with overwhelming majorities specifically of white voters. Okay, it should have been a massive deliverable, at least when it comes to how we talk about race.
Wrong.
No, it immediately became a wedge issue, because what the Democrats did is whenever there was a policy disagreement, they were like, well, what's so different about this president that the Republicans don't want to work with him? Gee, what looks different when we look at the portraits in the White House? And that's what they did, when the reality was the policies being opposed were policies Republicans have opposed since the beginning of time. Nobody wanted to sign off on the radical expansion of our administrative state in Washington, because everybody knows
government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Okay, the bigger the government gets, the more expensive it becomes. Okay, the more expensive it becomes, the more bureaucracy we have, the more your tax dollar has to finance, the less that actually gets done.
Thanks, big government weenuses.
Okay, and you understand voting for that, voting for entitlements, voting for what you thought might make your community a priority, okay, is what really did get the Democrats a monopoly on the black vote that they didn't deserve. I mean, you've heard Charles McBee say it on the show a lot, and Charles McBee's a head writer for Charlemagne. Charlemagne, who famously was hosting the show where Biden told black voters they didn't have a choice.
You have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
I mean, same show where Hillary claimed she carried hot sauce in her purse.
Hot sauce.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, Charlemagne, who now says that if Biden really wanted to help the country, he would do us a favor and resign. That's what Charlemagne said.
I don't remember that ever happening.
But it did, because we've played you the tape 1,000 times on the show. The black community has woken up to the fact that Democrats don't want to solve problems, they want to run on it. And that's what McBee was saying on the show. He said Democrats show up to our communities every 4 years. Okay, they do the Dougie, and they tell us to vote for them, and then nothing happens. Not even when Obama gets elected. Because understand, black unemployment went up under Obama.
I don't see you doing any better in the booty department.
And one of the reasons why is because the Democrats are constantly fighting, not over the issue, but over how they can mischaracterize the Republican stance. Here is Andrea Mitchell over on MSNBC. This is straight clown stuff. She says, when Trump is talking about tax cuts, when Trump is talking about immigration, all he's really saying is he just wants white people to immigrate only.
You are so full of shit.
But listen to this with a straight face. Clip 11.
Mr. Trump teased extending his signature tax cuts when meeting with those wealthy donors at Mar-a-Lago. And the New York Times, your paper is reporting, he again defended wanting immigrants from, quote, nice countries like Denmark and Switzerland. I think he's talking about white people.
Oh, God. I mean, come on.
Shut up. Will you shut up?
No, what he's talking about is people who come to the country legally. Donald Trump, in saying build a wall, did never, ever. No one, you can't give me a proof of him saying, I don't want immigration. Okay, we want immigration in this country. We want legal immigration in this country. The problem with illegal immigration, okay, is it is going to lead to higher rates of crime. Okay, because if you start at step one, it's illegal. You've already broken the law on account of the fact that you snuck into the country. You've already broken the law. Crime has already gone up just by virtue of the fact that you're here. Then you get into the specifics of crime. If the border is open, you can smuggle drugs. You can smuggle people. It doesn't mean everybody crossing the border is smuggling drugs or smuggling people. It just means that permissive environment of lawlessness means the bad people will take advantage of the good people. It's like woke bail reforms that don't send people to jail. If 90% of violent crimes occur against people of the same community, it means, let's say you're going to let out, well, there's too many white people in jail, so we'll let out the white violent criminals, okay? 90% of the time, they're going to go on to commit a violent crime against a member of their own race. So if you're letting out a black criminal, Latino criminal, Asian criminal, Muslim criminal, it doesn't matter, okay? The people who break the laws are the ones that need to be prosecuted. Because when you waive the law in the name of some type of compassion, what ultimately happens is the people who follow the laws are the ones who get bit in the butt.
He knows what he's talking about.
So when you start to make the argument about, well, Trump just said he wants white people. Okay, but he didn't actually say that. But that's why the Democrats, that's why the big legacy media institutions are losing the trust that they are. Because they're trying to repurpose their opponents' words instead of offering a deliverable on the issue. When Andrea Mitchell says, the Trump, he's extending his signature tax cuts when meeting with the wealthy donors. Do you know that the New York Times, which is not exactly Mar-a-Lago Monthly, the New York Times, the gray lady, Okay, the New York Times, though, has been taking such a beating in the credibility department. It's more like the 50 Shades of Grey Lady. But the Grey Lady, okay, flat out admitting that the lowest economic class of society were the biggest beneficiaries of the Trump tax cuts for two reasons. One, it slashed taxes on the poor, making them the single highest accelerators of household growth in that wealth sector. But two, the wealthy donors she alludes to in the class warfare effort that she's making are the ones that took the hardest hit from the Trump tax cuts. We talked about this with Bill Hemmer yesterday. The Trump tax cuts eliminated the SALT tax, state and local tax deductions. What that meant is people who are affluent could no longer write off the entirety of their property taxes. This becomes a significant, okay, significant tax increase for people who live in like big mansions and big properties, because if they were paying $200,000 or $300,000 on their taxes, the fact that they could only write off the first $10,000 in property taxes meant the rest of that money was now taxable income, meaning their actual tax cut was non-existent. And the New York Times wrote about this at great length. 82% of Americans got a tax cut because of Donald Trump. The 18% of Americans who did not get a tax cut were the wealthiest 18%.
Correctamundo.
But the Democrats are still out there. It's, oh, the wealthy donor tax cut, will give it back again. That's what they do. Why do they do that? Because they'd rather run on your feelings than on the facts. Okay, and I say this all the time. I'm not here for 3 hours a day going vote Trump. Vote for anybody you want. Okay, vote for Kanye for all I care. It's not my job to tell you who to vote for. It doesn't.
Shut up.
Okay, but I've said this before. Kanye's not going to be president. He said so many anti-Semitic things. He's now president of Harvard. But stick with me, okay? When they don't want to have an honest conversation, there's a reason why. It's like if somebody's trying to set you up on a blind date, but they won't tell you how the person looks. Hey, man, what are you doing Friday night? I'm going to set you up with this girl. How's she look? Oh, she's funny. I'll get out. Yeah, I like funny. She hot? You like sports? She loves sports. You're going to, really? How's she going to look at the game? Well, you know what? As a matter of fact, she has an easy pass, so you'll get to the game a little bit less traffic. Huh, not too bad. Is she like on Instagram? No, but she does have a parking pass, you know, and you're not getting a straight answer. There's usually a reason you're not getting that answer.
Ah, you have a good eye, my man.
So when it comes to the border, when it comes to the economy, when it comes to any of this polling, the reason they're not answering the question is because it's not a good answer for them.
And I'm out here in the real world, and I know what's right or wrong or bullshit.
It's the show that leaves you hungry for more.
We'll probably sit around and cook some soup, eat bread and desserts, and just get all fat and sassy.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America, having a grown-up talk about all things America. Remember, America, that's it. A good old-fashioned American talk show. Agree, disagree, doesn't matter.
We're not going to sit here and listen to you badmouth the United States of America.
Yeah, man, that's it. Just being on the joke. If you live it here, you have it good. You live in the world's 1%. No matter what your day is doing to you. What's today, Tuesday? Oh, man, could really be getting punched in the nuts today by life. I've done that a lot on Tuesdays. But the point is, there's no rule that says Wednesday can't be phenomenal, or maybe even the second half of your Tuesday can't be phenomenal, because you live in this country.
Freedom!
I say it all the time, man. People need perspective because they don't have any. Okay, here is MSNBC, and I love this. Okay, it's your acting labor secretary saying she laughs at the people who say they were better off under Trump, as if like you're too stupid to know any better. This is so dumb. Clip 35.
I say it's unfortunate that some people try to peddle a story for, you know, of nostalgia for something that just wasn't true. I say that, I mean, look at the numbers, right? The numbers don't lie. You know, the last president kept talking about an infrastructure week that never materialized. President Biden has delivered on an infrastructure decade where we're seeing projects, shovels hit the ground in communities all across the country. And it's just, it's irresponsible to suggest anything else. And, I don't know what to say about that.
Such an idiot.
I mean,
this is pretty much the worst video ever made.
I mean, really? I don't know what to say. It's like, you're too stupid to know any better. But the point I keep coming back to, just so you understand, is, yeah, they signed an infrastructure bill. They spent literally $2 trillion on climate change. $2 trillion that we print and spent.
That is financial lunacy.
We didn't have the money. Okay, we just plunged ourselves further into debt. But the reality of that money spent in these infrastructure jobs, and I'm happy some people got shovel-ready jobs, is that your core price index is up 25%. So are you better off now when you go to the cash register? Okay, crime is up. So are you better off? How about the book? This goes on for like an hour and a half. We'll discuss it in the next hour with Brian Brenberg. He is, of course, the host of the Big Money Show on the Fox Business Network, and he's on my Saturday night show this weekend. So we'll have a lot to get into with Brenberg when we come back on Fox Across America.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, there it is, and here we go, back in action for a big hour. It's a plus-size hour. I can't call it a big hour anymore. You get canceled for that.
He should be behind bars!
A plus-sized hour of Fox Across America with your radio buddy Jimmy Failla. We're going to be talking to Brian Brenberg in this hour about student loan forgiveness.
That's not right.
It's not right in theory. But there's so many different ways to slice this onion. We will explore most of them. And if there's any wisdom you can impart, 888-788-9910 is the phone number if you want to weigh in one way or the other. But I certainly have a lot to say on the issue. It's Tuesday. I'm in a peppy mood. I'm going to be on the Ingram Angle tonight, closing that show in the 7 p.m. hour. And I'm already kind of punched drunk from the morning that has been. I've been in this building now, I don't know, for like 12 hours or something like that. I was here very early, like writing, because I'm on a stand-up tour and blah, 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 blah. Nobody cares. Nobody wants to hear it. Just get on with the show. You know what I'm saying, show pony? Nobody wants to hear about the traffic on the way to the racetrack. Just get out there and gallop. So there we are. And we're galloping in the direction of student loan forgiveness. Why? Okay, because if you've been following the story from Word One, as I have, okay, you understand, like the minimum wage increase, it's one of those issues where compassion and common sense collide. Okay, and what I mean by that is the minimum wage increase. We talked about this last week. It would seem compassionate. You'd say, hey, yeah, everybody wants to make more money. We all do. People want to make more money. Of course, you want to pay fast food workers more money. The problem is, okay, if you double the wage, the product becomes more expensive. So if the product is now more expensive, the people who frequent fast food restaurants are less likely to eat there, which means the profit margin goes down, and ultimately the businesses need to choose between closing or laying off workers. Either way, the end result is that wage increase winds up harming the worker and the consumer.
That's true. That is true.
As we saw last week in California, the very first day of this law going into effect resulted in job losses for thousands of workers. And it also resulted in what? Price increases on fast food of up to 50 cents per item.
That can't be good.
It's not good because one of the reasons fast food is popular is because it's cheap. Okay, if you start to get into a price sector where people can no longer justify the additional expense, they become less likely to consume the product. So the compassion is pay more, but the reality is when it comes to certain jobs, okay, they are meant to be side jobs. They are meant to be, you know, first jobs, okay? But with the exception of management, like if you're managing a fast food restaurant, that's a great job, okay? But in terms of like you're working the drive-thru, you're doing what else? Okay, it's a job. You need a job. I get it. I drove a cab for a long time, so I get it. But the reality is those jobs are not supposed to be permanent for you. They're supposed to be things you do on the way up.
I think he's got a point.
Okay, when it comes to student loan forgiveness, in theory, you'd say, yeah, okay, forgive the loans. Give these people a break. But are the loans actually forgiven? No. They just take the cost from the borrower who took out the loan, and they pass it on, okay, to the people who didn't take out the loan, meaning the taxpayer. Now, in theory, we blow our tax dollars on enough stupid stuff that you could sell me on the idea that what's the difference between paying off somebody's loans we've never met or sending $100 billion to Ukraine, a country nobody really cares about. Now, in theory, that doesn't mean I support Vladimir Putin or I want him to trample Ukraine, but it means if you were to poll the American people, 80% of them are going to say, who cares? Keep the money here.
When you're right, you're right, and you're right.
Guys, it's a different America right now. If 80% of the country thinks we're headed in the wrong direction, they'd like to see our resources focused on us as opposed to other people.
That is correct.
So where something like student loan forgiveness in theory seems like it does put the focus on us is on the compassionate side of it. Hey, forgive the cost of these loans. The problem is the reason so many people are in debt is because nothing is being done to rein in the soaring price of tuition. And when you say to a college, hey, we're going to pay off the debts for these people who took out these loans, they don't hear, well, we better get costs under control. No, what they hear is we can charge whatever the hell we want.
Oh, you're right. And when you're right, you're right. And you're always right.
But then comes the constitutionality of it all. The Supreme Court has struck this down twice because, again, you can't tell me that we're paying off somebody's loan in the name of fairness by making somebody who didn't take out the loan pay it off. Okay, that's why this thing is died twice at the feet of the Supreme Court. And it shouldn't be a surprise because here is Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy Pelosi is a total dingbat.
Maybe so. Okay, but I don't badmouth Nancy Pelosi because people say she was a phenomenal waitress at the Last Supper. Okay, but to take it a step further, here is Nancy Pelosi, a Speaker of the House, saying Joe Biden doesn't have the constitutional authority to cancel student debt. Clip 13.
People think that the President of the United States has the power for debt forgiveness. He does not. He can postpone. He can delay. But he does not have that power. That has to be an act of Congress. So that's not even a discussion. Not everybody realizes that. But the president can only postpone, delay, but not forgive.
That being said, okay, first of all,
I admire your honesty.
Because she is being honest. The president does not have the constitutional authority to do that. Yet he's going through with it anyway, okay? In this moment, that's exactly what the president is doing, okay? And why is he doing it? He doesn't actually think this is going to go through. The Supreme Court's going to strike it down. Okay, but he's doing it anyway because it's an effort to try and buy votes in an election year. If you see your approval rating sagging with younger voters and you go out and say, but I'm going to pay off your student debts. I know I'm not popular, but I'm paying off your debts.
It's nothing more than white noise coming from the White House.
Totally. Because at the end of the day, he can't pay off your debt. You just heard Nancy Pelosi flat out tell you he doesn't have the constitutional authority. Okay, that's Nancy Pelosi. The Supreme Court's already struck it down twice, which means they're going to strike it down a third time. But all he wants is for this to be in the news cycle so he can go, no, you don't get it. We're going to pay off your debt. The Republicans won't let us. No. The Supreme Court won't let you. The Constitution of the United States won't let you. But here is Rachel Maddow. And I find this, man, it's so fascinating. Okay, I love the performance art of cable news. Like, I'm in a good spot. Like, I get to come on the air. I could be funny. I can make a point. But because I've been upfront with you that I'm a flawed, broken human being who has no idea what he's doing half the time, I'm not obligated to toe the party line for either party, which is good because the Republicans suck right now, too. Congress is an embarrassment. They're back in session today. They might replace Mike Johnson, which would put us seriously, which would put us on like our third speaker with an additional three nominees since the Republicans took back the House. Okay.
That is so embarrassing.
It's really embarrassing. Because they haven't demonstrated competency. So I don't have to get on the air every day and like praise one political party or just find a way to advance their agenda in the media. The people who do, it's like you've got to become a contortionist. You've got to really wiggle and, you know, flex into a position to spin a story in a way that it sounds like you have a leg to stand on. This is Rachel Maddow. So what Rachel Maddow says last night on her show, and oh God, this is funny, okay, is she's trying to make the case that Republicans are suing to force college students to pay more for their student loans.
That is a fact check false.
Okay. Now, the truth of what's going on is Biden is trying to forgive all of the interest on these loans, meaning take the interest and transfer the burden over to the taxpayer who didn't take it out. What the Republicans are challenging is the fact that that should not happen. Okay. And it shouldn't happen because, again, Student loan forgiveness is no different than going out to dinner forgiveness. Imagine you got a bill in the mail from Applebee's for a meal you didn't even eat.
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
That's what you'd say. Okay. You'd say, wait, what? I've got to pay for that? You're not even going to throw me a potato skin? Not even going to get a half-price margarita in the envelope? So I'm paying for this Applebee's meal. I didn't even get to eat it. Do I get any food at all?
The answer would be no.
No. And you don't get any college credit for paying off these loans. So again, it might sound compassionate, but the loans aren't being forgiven. That's the scam of the title. You call it student loan forgiveness because you go, oh, I wouldn't want to give them a break. It's no different than the Inflation Reduction Act. The Inflation Reduction Act did not spend a dollar towards reducing inflation. It was a climate change bill that they passed under the name Inflation Reduction Act because they knew inflation reduction was popular.
That's just how white folks will do you.
And that's how they did you. So here is Rachel Maddow trying to make it sound like Republicans are suing to make your interest rates go up, which isn't actually true or applicable in a factual sense in any sense of the word. But here she is doing it anyway because we have activists masquerading as journalists. It's all performance art. Like, do you remember when Rachel Maddow famously got on MSNBC and shamed the unvaccinated because she said the vaccine stops transmission of the virus? But that's what she said. She said, you know, can't hop from person to person. The vaccine will stop the spread of COVID.
You're not telling me the truth.
Okay, but she said it from a place of self-righteousness.
It means that instead of the virus being able to hop from person to person to person to person, spreading and spreading, sickening some of them, but not all of them. And the ones that it doesn't sicken don't know they have it, and then they give it to even more people because they didn't recognize they were, right? Instead of the virus being able to hop from person to person to person, potentially mutating and becoming more virulent and drug resistant along the way. Now we know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person. A vaccinated person gets exposed to the virus does not infect them, the virus cannot then use that person to go anywhere else. It cannot use a vaccinated person as a host to go get more people. That means the vaccines will get us to the end of this.
Sadly, okay, vaccinated people made up the largest percentage of COVID deaths in the last reportable month on the pandemic. Vaccinated people died of COVID. That's not a vaccine. You might call it a therapeutic, but when was the last time you heard 10,000 people who were vaccinated for the measles die from the measles? When was the last time you heard 10,000 people who were vaccinated from polio die from polio? They didn't. Because those vaccines were borne out over trials that took upwards of a decade. In this instance, the vaccine was a therapeutic that was marketed as a stop-all. That was the original sale. That's why they justified firing you from your job and even shaming you in public.
Not getting vaccines. It's time to start shaming them.
Because frankly, we know that we can't trust the unvaccinated.
F*** them. F*** their freedom. I want my freedom to live.
No, screw your freedom. You're a schmuck for not wearing a mask.
We have to stop coddling the morons who will not get the shot.
Shame on you.
I mean, man.
This is Looney Tunes.
Looney Tunes?
That's all, folks.
Gung Ho. What a great movie. But stick with me. Okay, that indignation, okay, came from a place that was completely factless. It was completely meritless what they were saying because it was just based on nothing more than their own self-righteousness. But that's what they're selling to their viewers is a confirmation bias. You turn on MSNBC to be told you know better than those dumb racist white people in the middle of the country. Okay, that's what you're told every single day. I don't believe the middle of the country is filled with dumb racist white people. Certainly met some dumb ones. They're in my family. But the middle of the country, America, they're having the best time. Low property taxes, you know, better cost of living. And you're never going to walk your kid to school in the morning and come face to face with a pantless hobbit fondling himself on the sidewalk. Yeah. But because they're in the business of selling that self-righteousness, they'll run with any lie. Just like, you know, the vaccine stops transmission of the virus. Just didn't happen. Sadly, I wish it did. I don't want anybody to die. But here is Rachel Maddow flat out trying. This is a great contortionist routine to convince you Republicans are trying to make the cost of your loans go even higher. Clip 17.
Republicans already sued and successfully blocked one of President Biden's plans for forgiving student loans. After President Biden pivoted to use a different program to forgive more student loans, Republicans sued to stop that one, too. Now President Biden has announced this latest plan today in Wisconsin, and so new Republican lawsuits against that one are expected any minute as well. And just think about what that means. Just like step back from that for a second. Republicans are suing over and over again in multiple states. Republicans are suing to make sure that Americans have to pay more in student loans, to make sure that you have to pay more interest to banks on your student loans. That is what they are offering America in this election year. Isn't that what America most needs? For banks to make more money off people who took out loans to go to college? Isn't that really, you know, morally, isn't that a real justice issue for America?
You are a sad, strange little man.
I mean, you really think about that, because she's framing it as if Republicans are suing to raise your interest rates. She's framing it as if Republicans are suing to make them go higher, to make the loans carry on longer. No, it's not Republicans that block this, number one. It is the Supreme Court of the United States of America, which Nancy Pelosi widely said would block this because Biden didn't have the constitutional authority. But you understand, Rachel Maddow lives in that same mindset the White House does, where they just want to win the news cycle by looking better than the other side. They know we can't forgive this debt, because how could you justify giving the cost to somebody else? It'd be one thing if the colleges were like, nah, the debt's forgiven. We're walking away. You don't owe me the money. That's student loan debt. What this is just a scam. Okay, and it's not going to work, but they don't need it to work in the court of law. They just need it to work in the court of public opinion, where they can sit here and call Republicans the devil every day. And that's exactly what they're trying to do.
What can I tell you, kid? You're right. When you're right, you're right. And you're right.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
He is one of those iconic figures that fans care about.
Brian Bremberg's coming up on Fox Across America. His opening act is down in Lakeland, Florida. Eric joins us now. Eric!
Hey, Jimmy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing, Eric. I'm a little nuts, but you're going to restore order. I'm putting the ball in your hands.
Well, I appreciate it. It's great to talk to you. So one point about this student loan deal is that, you know, these guys, when the Democrats take over or the Republicans take over and there's a shift in the leadership, The people that get booted out go to the colleges. Mm-hmm. And so they don't mind at all to increasing the tuition and increasing the loan rates, because they make more money.
Yeah.
So when you're in office, you raise the amount that you'll loan. And when your candidate then loses as a bureaucrat and you're out of a job, you go to work in the university and you've buttered your own bread.
Yep.
So they're all in cahoots, and it's a horrible system. And the universities are the ones that should be made to pay these bills, not the taxpayers. But like for me, I have six children.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I do? Do I tell them, I'm sorry, you know, you can't go to school because now the cost of that tuition is $100,000.
Yeah.
And at the end of the six kids, I'm at over $500,000 in debt. In order to get them all through the education,
uh-huh.
You know, there needs to be a change in the process of how these tuition rates are set, and these schools ought to be punished for having a 30% inflation rate when the rest of the country is at 1.9% under Trump,
yeah.
and even as horrible as it is under Biden, it's you know 6-7%.
Yeah,
you know, these, but they're all in cahoots with one.
That's what it is. They benefit from this. I'm not cutting you off. It's just I'm going to lose you to a commercial break. But you get it. It's like there's more merit for them in terms of the long term value of this going up even higher. That's where not addressing the cost screws everybody in the long run. Good call, man.
It's the morning show that overslept. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, they're playing Tone Loke on the show. Wild Thing, which was not written for Ricky Vaughn. the closer on the Cleveland Indians in Major League.
Just a bit outside.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
Joining us now, I wouldn't call him the Bob Uecker of business television, but it'd be high praise
that
if I did.
That would be high praise.
Because Bob Uecker's the man. Brian Brenberg knows that. Good to see you, Brenberg.
Guys, I think he's in his 90s. I think he was still calling some Brewers games this year. Isn't that right?
Is that true?
I thought so.
I loved Bob Uecker commercials. The Taste Great, Less Filling.
Oh, they're the best.
Do you remember the one he missed the tag where he's sitting in the last row of the Yankee Stadium upper deck? He goes, hey, good seats, huh, buddy? And then it cuts to him arguing with the ump. He missed the tag! I love Bob Uecker. Yeah, that's bipartisanship. Can we all agree on Bob Uecker?
Oh, yeah.
Has he taken a political position? I hope not.
No, except for baseball is great, and that's the best position you can
Thank
take.
Thank you.
His appearances on Carson back in the 70s.
Loved it.
Unbelievable.
I watch it all day.
So good. So deadpan dry.
He's fantastic. And you know what? The best thing, because I fall asleep watching The Tonight Show just about every night. People who aren't doing that, go on YouTube, watch The Tonight Show. The amount of smoking and drinking they're doing on live TV. Yeah. It's so bizarre to see somebody do that. But there was an era where you could walk onto a TV set, light up a cigarette. Everybody there was smoking.
And they were just hanging out. It's so awesome.
Oh, it was great. Real escapism.
I know a guy who does a show kind of like that.
There's a plug for Brenberg's appearance. He's not trying to help me.
No.
He's trying to boost his own ratings in the A block. Fox News Saturday night this weekend. Brenberg on the panel. Christina Hutchinson's on the panel. Fantastic comic. Kenny Krantz. Now, Kenny Krantz is on the show because he's a great comic, but he's opening for me June 22nd in Red Bank, New Jersey. So Krantz will be there. Danny Boy O'Connor from House of Pain. They sang Jump Around. Remember Jump Around?
Talking about things that happened
in sports stadiums. How many times do you think Jump Around has been played in a sports stadium?
Yes.
Probably a billion.
Yes, and the older the stadium, the closer the song gets you to the whole place collapsing.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
You can feel it shaking. And Jump Around probably surpassed Rock and Roll by Gary Glitter because he ran into a little trouble with the courts. And it became a little bit less fashionable to play his song. You know what I mean? Gary Glitter, Rock and Roll, folks. If you're not familiar, that's the one. Nah, 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 nah. Hey! Well, as it turns out, they were saying hey because they caught him in the act of doing something wrong. Hey, stop doing that.
Oh,
and that was the end of that song.
Nice.
No, we can't.
Nice.
So, yeah, Danny Boy will be there. And the dog whisperer, Cesar Millan.
Yes.
Is going to train Bixby this Saturday
that's
night on Fox
possible.
News Saturday
I don't
night.
I think that's possible.
No, it's not going to happen.
I've been there. I've seen Bixby.
No, and we've already hit him. Nothing works.
I used to have nice pairs of shoes until I went over to your house.
You stop boom, it. Bixby has never eaten your shoes. No. The one thing Jenny Fallon does well is she trains a dog well. Like she does. She's two for
now,
two.
Now, one thing she does well.
No, I just mean in general, though. Okay. Like, if she does pick and train a dog really well, we have a phenomenal dog in that regard. Like, he doesn't wreck anything, doesn't chew anything.
No.
He doesn't even shred his own toys, which defeats the purpose.
That's, I don't know what
like,
doing.
Our golden retriever, Bailey, was the opposite. If you handed him a toy, we called him the surgeon. He was operating on it immediately. The other thing Bailey had going, and this is maybe where Jenny would lose some points at the Westminster Dog Show, Bailey was a fully intact golden retriever, and he had a stuffed dog that he dragged around the backyard, and let's just say he put the pound in pound puppy, is all I'm trying to say. Every once in a while, the Holy Spirit would get him, and he'd drag the dog over to the corner, and you had to distract the kid because he didn't know what was going on.
Avert your eyes.
So that would happen. That would happen from time to time.
Oh,
but Brian Brenberg is in studio. I know this is a little highbrow for our normal appearances.
It is, frankly.
So let's move forward, if we could. This thing with the student loan forgiveness, we've had this discussion now. This is the third time we've had this discussion, which is Biden trying to forgive student debt. This discussion always begins with me playing a Nancy Pelosi clip of all people, saying the president doesn't have the constitutional authority to do so.
Bingo.
We then usually pivot to something along the lines of he's trying to buy votes, which I feel like we've hit this refrain before. And then in comes the Supreme Court to strike it down. So is this Friday the 13th sequel any different, or is it still just a guy in a hockey mask who's not going to win in the end?
Yeah, it's good to play the hits sometimes. You know? It's like playing the hits. Let's play it one more time, okay, Nancy? I mean, that's what he's doing here. Is it different substantively? No.
Okay.
But, you know, so they're playing the timing thing now. So I think the plan is, right, because you got to promise the benefit and not have that taken off the table before November. So I think what they're going to do is they're not planning to send out like the, hey, we're forgiving your loan notices or something until September. So they kind of trigger it then.
Yeah.
Which, as I read it, basically makes it impossible for the Supreme Court to kind of get in on it. before November.
They're trying to get it shot it down after the election.
Because it's going
to
get shot down after the election. And then everyone's going to be disappointed. But then he's in, you know, if he wins,
he's in.
He's
doesn't matter.
So it's just a timing thing.
Yep. So that's what we're looking at.
Yeah.
So that's Brian Brenberg is in the studio calling balls and strikes.
Yeah.
And that's how it plays out to me. Is we've called this a vote buying scheme, but it's a vote buying scheme that doesn't require you to buy the votes in the end, which is even better.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of is actually, because we're not going to all be on the hook for this. But yeah, it's just kind of like we're going to do it. We know we're not, but we're going to believe us until the election, and you can do whatever you want to.
So this is my question, and I know this is going to fly with management. But seeing as we keep running these stories, this happens in stand-up comedy. Okay, in stand-up comedy, topical humor resurfaces. What I mean by that, okay, is sometimes when a public figure has a scandal, okay, if you're a working comic at the time, you write jokes about it. They're a part of your act for like a month or two. Then that person is out of the public eye. But those jokes are in the bank somewhere.
Yeah.
And if they wind up back in the public eye again, you have a material.
Right.
So the first time I knew this was a thing, oddly enough, was with Michael Jackson. Comics who were doing stand-up in the 90s when Michael Jackson got into trouble had Michael Jackson jokes. Right. So when I started doing stand-up like 02, 03, Michael Jackson was back in the headlines out of nowhere. I was like, who are these comics with this A material? The story broke a half hour ago. This guy's got a 20-minute chunk on Michael Jackson. He's amazing. And I guess the point I'm trying to make is like we benefit from that as analysts because we get to do our student loan forgiveness material.
I guess so, yeah.
But what I'm saying is why can't we just recycle material? And I'm not saying we won't. What I'm saying is why don't we get to air reruns in cable news?
There you go.
Well, like can we just air our June of 2022 material on student loan forgiveness?
I'd like to refer you to this episode about what's happening.
Give us
a
repeat because they can't actually – they say they can forgive the debt.
It's totally false.
No, they can't, Michael. And that's why we're going to recycle the Michael material. That's what I'm trying to say, Brenberg.
It, you know, they love recycling. I mean, these guys do love recycling, and they're just recycling these ideas. Can I just point out one crazy thing about this? So, because on the front end, the government's saying we've got to give more money to colleges, right? The just thing to do is give more money to colleges. On the back end, they're saying the just thing to do is to forgive all the loans of people who made the bad decision to go to these colleges. So they're saying it was a bad decision all the way through, but the just thing always is to give money to these people. Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk about cons. Does somebody make a long con? This is maybe the long con of American politics in the 20th and 21st century.
That's a great racket because a lot of this, too, as we've said in the past, doesn't actually address the soaring cost of tuition or the fact that there's not a commensurate job for most of these degrees.
None.
That's the biggest thing.
Nobody would hire you with these degrees.
No.
You'd studied that?
But you know what's funny? Because like
you're out.
Yeah, because that's – no, it's a great point. Because that's – it's already judgment in itself.
Yeah.
Wait, you spent $850,000
– let me get this straight. You spent money on that?
There's a line in Fast Times at Ridgemont High where he's talking about how the guy likes the girl who works in the photo mat. He's like, you spend $500 on film. You don't even own a camera, you know, because he just wanted to flirt with the cashier. That's student loan forgiveness in a roundabout way. And I laugh at this because Lincoln was recently invited to, you know, the college fair because he's in 10th grade.
Right.
And apparently they haven't seen any report cards. I'm like, wait, so is he DJing? What exactly do you expect from my son at this college fair? Is he working the punch bowl? I kid. Lincoln's doing great. But the point is, when I look at some of the offerings at the fair, I think it almost starts there because that's where the schools are feeding, you know, the actual colleges as the schools posit these things as possible livelihoods.
Can I just – like having been in that business for 15 years and I love the institution that I taught at, we didn't do that stuff. But it is totally the case that these colleges – what they do is they figure out what's happening in the world. They make up a degree.
Yes,
that they say fit. They have nobody at the place who really knows how to teach that or any experience in it, but they make up the degree, they name it, and they tell you if you want to work in that field, you do this degree.
Yeah.
And I can tell you it does not work. Those are the last places you want to go to study these things, but that's how they sell it.
Yeah, you get a degree in anti-racism,
right,
which is a very fancy term for barista. That's a very fancy way.
I don't even know if you're qualified for barista.
It's a very fancy way of calling you a Lyft driver for the remainder of your 30s. And believe me, I'm not talking down on it. I'm a lifelong cab driver.
Right.
I'm just telling you, I thankfully didn't go get behind the wheel of my taxi owing someone $500,000 for a college degree. I owed a bookie half of that amount. But at least I got some action. I mean, I don't
see any legislation forgiving that debt.
Yeah,
well,
I say this again. Where is blackjack forgiveness? Right. I've made some bad decisions in my 20s that didn't come with commensurate jobs.
And his vote is up for grabs, so let's get something done here.
And you learn more from owing a bookie. You've got to disguise your voice. You've got to be able to relocate. You run. You have my first step out of the gate. If you need a pinch runner, you know, I might not look okay like Lou Brock. Okay, I look like I get paid in Brock's Carmels, but the point is, I can disappear if I have to.
Ricky owes a bookie. Ricky needs to pay back this bookie. He's got to steal a base.
Ricky Henderson. We're back to baseball because we're supposed to be.
That's right.
So Brian Brumberg, in addition to being the host of the Big Money Show, a show I will be on tomorrow, he will be on my show. We're playing a home-and-home doubleheader. He's on my show this Saturday. Let me tell you what's going on this Saturday because they haven't briefed you on this. The game we're playing this week, you know, we always invent a good game. So this is almost a Johnny Cochran tribute game.
No.
The game is called Rhyme and Punishment. And we're going to hand you like a stupid criminal story, like Florida man makes love to a Hot Pocket or something. And you know, Johnny Cochran, out if the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. You guys are going to have to creatively come up with a rhyme to get this guy forgiven in the court of law.
Oh, that's a lot of pressure.
Rhyme and punishment. Now, putting additional pressure on it is you're going to have the guy, Danny Boy from House of Pain, who wrote Jump Around, judging your rhyme skills.
Oh, come on.
So this is high-stakes poker on Fox News Saturday night. This, like, we are, for whatever people think of the show, we really are trying to keep the campaign promise of wall-to-wall stupidity. Like, we ran on stupid. We got into office and enacted that agenda, did we not?
My gosh, we're going to – it's poetry. It's really going to be poetry.
It's actual
poetry. You're judged
poetry.
By a guy who wrote – that song.
An iconic rap song. Like, still living off it. He bought The Outsiders' house. Did you know that, Danny Boy? The S.E. Hinton novel, The Outsiders, movie's based on. He bought that house outside of Tulsa, and he runs The Outsiders Museum in Tulsa.
No way.
Isn't that amazing?
That
yeah.
is cool.
So he'll talk S.E. Hinton, but more importantly, he'll judge your Florida man rhymes.
Look, humility is an important part of life, and Thursday's going to be a big...
It matters.
Yeah.
And then we've got tax day right around the corner. Which is did they move it or is it still this Monday? I don't even know.
It's 15th.
Yeah, is it? All right.
Yeah, I don't think they moved it. If they didn't tell me. Well, they're coming after you. Don't worry.
Listen, I'm going on audit number 4. The next time this train rolls into the station,
that's why
something
he can't
like
release
that.
His returns. He's on, you know, he's being
doing the Trump
he's
thing. I'm under audit. I can't release my returns. Well, that's the last thing I was going to throw at you. So this Trump hush money trial goes into effect ostensibly next week. I only bring this up because what I find funny about the whole thing is this was thrown out multiple times under previous DAs because it's a local crime that they're trying to triple Lindy up to the federal level. Mm. The end result of which is I don't believe this is going anywhere. I don't need you to factor any analysis into it on that front. My question is, with tax season quickly approaching, is can you write off hush money to a porn star? How does that – because that's what I'm interested in. Just how does this affect us? I don't care. I don't know if he's going to jail. But I like, where does this fall in TurboTax? Like, if I paid for Pro, because I do my own taxes. If I did TurboTax Pro, can they address Stormy Daniels and whether or not she's relevant to my expenses? Can you hazard a guess? I don't believe you have one.
I don't know if it's in TurboTax Pro.
It's TurboTax with three X's right. at the end.
TurboTax
XXX.
That one might have a line item for
it's,
that.
No. It's Turbo. Turbo Tax. That's where you find out if you can write off your hoeing. I don't know. These are things I want to know. I don't want to get in trouble.
Why are we talking about important issues like that instead of recycling student debt?
Well, you know where we will be talking about important issues like that on Fox News Saturday night,
man. I can't believe it's going to be – the pressure's on. It's going to be fun. I got to step up. You have to step up on that. I'm going to stretch out before that one.
Game on. Well, as a means of prepping, tell your co-host tomorrow that I'm going to rhyme everything I say on your show.
You're going to see our new set tomorrow.
Oh, get out of here.
We got rid of the desk. We're just going straight chairs.
Are you really?
Yeah, so you better, you're going to have to wear some pants this time. Is what I'm saying.
That's what you think, Brian Brandenburg. That's where you are wrong. Good stuff, my man.
Get him out of here. Get him out.
This thing is going to become gargantuan when the Son of Man comes.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Bottom of the ninth on Fox Across America, your radio buddy. About to become your TV buddy. I will be on the Ingram Angle tonight, closing the show in the 7 p.m. hour on the East Coast. If you're in the mountain, you're in the fives, you're in the West Coast, you're in the fours. If you're in Hawaii, screw you. It's nice out. You're having a good time. But you're all welcome to watch. And you are, of course, welcome to stick around this Saturday night for Fox News Saturday Night, which, by the way, continues to dominate in the ratings. So thank you. That matters. You guys are amazing. And the fact that you've allowed me to succeed while keeping the campaign promise of the show being irreverent and stupid, it means a lot to me. Because if you listen to the show, I'm clearly capable of being intelligent. All right, but I can be semi-intelligent. All right, they're running a tough crowd in there. I'm not going to fight this battle. I'm not going to take this. But as we round this thing out and head for home, I think the point I'm trying to make right now, and this is certainly the way the week is trending, is we've hit this point in the election where it's so much more important to repackage what your opponent is saying than focus on the merits of anything. That's what I learned today. That's what I learned. Is we're already at this place where they're repurposing the position on student loan forgiveness. They're repurposing the abortion debate. Okay, the Democrats are flat out saying that Trump would enact a federal abortion ban if elected.
Wrong.
He released a statement that he's actually catching hell from pro-lifers because he flat out said he would leave it up to the states. So we're kind of in this weird distortion mode. Which is why when I get on the air every day, I don't care. I don't care what your priorities are. The whole point of America is this is not a country that was built on agreement. It was built on disagreement and the ability to tactfully do it. That's why the Constitution was written up the way it was. It wasn't drawn up so Republicans could fight Democrats over who controls the government. The Constitution was drawn up so the government doesn't control us. That was the whole point of the Constitution. So the only thing we're trying to live up to every day on this show, or if you see us on TV, is we're trying to give you that downshift. Like, hey, chill out and let's think rationally here, because we're not thinking rationally right now. And I got to be honest with you, the rest of the world does not, when they look at America in this day and age, they just think they're watching a very expensive circus. So I'm trying to get you to that place where, yeah, you can attend this expensive circus, but you don't have to be one of the clowns. Okay, you could just be the chubby guy like me, who's just eating an overpriced popcorn, hanging out, you know, watching somebody make out with a bearded lady or whatever they do at these circus tents these days. I wouldn't even know. But the point is, the show's over. Pay up and get out. Go enjoy your American privilege. It's Tuesday. It's a great, I mean, honestly, every day, if you want to live the way I did growing up, every day is kind of Saturday night if you want to treat it that way. But one way or the other, we're not going to tell you how to live your life. Just go have fun, man. You live in America. Be a Republican, be a Democrat, be a Libertarian, be an Independent, be a member of the Whig Party. I don't care. Just don't be a...
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Subscribe now on FoxNewsPodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.